This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died. But come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly, a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly, the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Sermon time for the children takes place now. If you wish to be attending, please move to the front right transept, and Miss D will meet you there.
Come, God who calls us, generous God, who provided safe travels and a blessing to Abraham and Sarah. Come, God who calls us, healing God, who calls us daughters and sons, whose grace can make us whole. Come, great God who calls us, who is worthy of our gladdest songs and our deepest commitment. Amen. Good morning. I like to browse the internet with the YouTube to see what other pastors are up to in their sermons, And I ran across a particular story that someone by the name of Pastor Scott Herr gave that I thought was very appropriate to an introduction to our discussion today. Picture, if you will, a man dressed in a leather jacket on the hugest Harley-Davidson motorcycle you can imagine, coming screeching up to a stoplight that turns red, and he stops there. And coming up behind him is an old grandpa on one of those little mopeds putt-putting along who reaches that same stoplight. The grandpa looks over at the guy on the Harley and says, "Boy, my little bike is nothing compared to yours. That is really something. Do you mind if I take a closer look?" And the guy, who's annoyed by this interruption, says, "Well, go ahead." So the grandpa leans over, and just as he is saying, "Wow, that is quite an engine," the light turns green, and the guy on the Harley thinks, "I'm out of here," and he floors it, and off he goes, leaving grandpa in the dust. Well, he gets about a half mile down the road, and he looks back, and he is amazed to see grandpa on the moped at an accelerating speed catching up with him. He's even more amazed as Grandpa zooms by him on the moped and goes a half mile down the road past him. He's even more amazed when he sees Grandpa turn around and come back at him, and now he's really mad because he's making fun of me. He passes him by ahead and goes another half mile where he was before, back at the stoplight, and the guy on the Harley thinks, "I'm going to figure this out." So he stops and he's going to wait. Well, Grandpa comes right back on him on the moped, but he's not slowing down. He runs right into his Harley. The Harley is just obliterated. The moped, too, and Grandpa gets up, holding his head off the ground. "Are you okay, old man?" he says. "Is there anything I can do for you?" And Grandpa says, "Well, the first thing you could do is take my suspenders out of your spokes." Pastor Hurd tells that story. He's giving a sermon on it's important whom we choose to be connected to. It is important whom we choose to be connected to. And the gospel today tells us some things about choosing to be connected to Christ. I'd like to talk today about three things that this gospel means for us in that regard. The first one is very simple. We all count. Connected to Christ, we all count. Did you catch the significance of that little story within the story of the woman with the hemorrhages? Those of you that studied Max Lucado with us about a year ago will remember his explanation of that story. For 12 years, she had those hemorrhages. How many quacks of doctors did she go through with the greatest, latest thing that she probably lost all of her money on, and still she is not healed? And she's rejected because, by the Jewish law, a woman who is hemorrhaging is an outcast. And so she has the incredible courage to fight her way through the noise and the crowd and to get close enough to Jesus that she can touch the hem of his garment. Now, the most amazing thing with this is the fact that in that noise and in that crowd, Jesus could perceive that she had touched him. The implication here for us is incredible. If Jesus can feel the touch of that outcast woman reaching out to him, how can we ever say that he does not care for us? It doesn't matter how outcast we feel. It doesn't matter how rejected or even sinful we might feel,
We all count when we are connected to Christ. Second point, interruptions. Did you notice this is a gospel of interruptions? Matthew, the tax collector, is at work doing his thing, and Jesus interrupts him. Jesus is then teaching. He is interrupted by Jairus. Come to my home, my daughter is sick. So now Jesus is going to Jairus' home, and he's interrupted by the hemorrhaging woman. It's a gospel about interruptions. I think there's an incredible learning for us in our journey connected with Christ in this regard as well. I know I've had a lot of days, I'm sure you have too, where I end up saying, I didn't get a single thing done that was on my list today because of all the interruptions. I think sometimes we need to look at interruptions in a different way. The word interruptions, if you look at the root of it, it means to break in. And perhaps when we think of it in terms of maybe God at work in our lives, it's God's way of letting the kingdom break in a little bit into our own daily lives when that happens. Maybe perhaps the agenda that we have for the day is not what God's is for us. There is some powerful words that were written by Martin Luther King Jr. After he was assassinated, they were going through his personal notes that he had left behind. And he was starting to craft a sermon that he never gave because he died. And the title of the sermon was going to be Interruptions. These are the notes that they found. The major problem of life is learning how to handle the costly interruptions. The door that slammed shut, the plan that got sidetracked, the marriage that failed, or that lovely poem that didn't get written because someone knocked on the door. Sadly, he never got a chance to expand on that thought. But the fact that he was writing something about it tells us that he had come to a point in his life to understand the importance of dealing with those interruptions. There is another Christian writer who has written extensively on this subject, who takes it to a more theological level. His name is Henry Nouwen. Perhaps you have heard of him. Henry Nouwen writes these powerful words. It has been the interruptions in my everyday life that have most revealed to me the divine mystery of which I am a part. What if all the unexpected interruptions are in fact the invitations to give up old-fashioned and outmoded styles of living and opening up to new, unexplored areas of experience? A lot of our ministry takes place in the interruptions that come our way. In our journey of being connected to Christ, may we continue to look for God's presence there. Thirdly and lastly, God chooses nobodies. As a matter of fact, God's self, chose to come into the world as a nobody. A child rejected that no one wanted, couldn't even find a place to be born. Chosen to be born of a young little lady who was a nobody by her own admission. The first reading that we heard, God choosing Abraham, a nobody, 75 years old, leave your land with your wife. It is in those nobodies that God chooses, even like Matthew, the tax collector. Not only a nobody, but somebody who in society was looked upon as the scum of the earth, a traitor, one who made his living off of taking advantage of other people. God chose him. God chooses nobodies and makes them somebody when we are connected to his Son, Jesus Christ. So, in concluding today, we all count. God can be active in those interruptions as well as what we feel our call is. And God chooses us as nobodies and makes us somebody. I ran across a little satire of a poem that I think puts all of this into perspective for me. It goes like this. Use me, O Lord. Use me, O Lord, but not just now. As soon as I'm out of college and pay all the debts I've carried, as soon as I've done my army stint, as soon as I've gotten married, I want you to use me, O Lord. Use me, O Lord, but not just now. As soon as I get my first real job, as soon as the house is built, as soon as my psychiatrist says that I am freed of guilt, I want you to use me, O Lord. Use me, but not just now. As soon as I've paid the mortgage, as soon as the kids are grown, as soon as they're finished college, as soon as they are on their own, I want you to use me, O Lord. Use me, but not just now. As soon as I've reached retirement, as soon as they are getting ahead, as soon as I draw my pension, just as soon as I am dead, I want you to use me, O Lord. Use me, but not just now. May we hear his call in the interruptions in our life. May we hear his call telling us that we count. May we hear his call when we feel we are nobody, knowing that we are all somebody when we are connected to Jesus Christ. Amen.